The Pod News Weekly Review uses chapters.
The last word in podcasting news. This is the Pod News Weekly Review with James Cridlin and Sam Sethi.
I'm James Cridlin, the editor of Pod News.
And I'm Sam Sethi, the CEO of True Fans.
It's for audiences in Asia Pacific, but we want to cover the biggest stories in the world and how they relate to audiences living here.
Siobhan Leahy from the BBC on a new show for Asia, plus more from Podcast Day Asia and...
So we wanted a podcast app just for us that works exactly how we want it.
Barry from Pod Home on their new podcast app. This podcast is sponsored by Buzzsprout with the tools, support and community to ensure you keep podcasting. Start podcasting, keep podcasting with Buzzsprout.com.
From your daily newsletter, the Pod News Weekly Review.
James, so look, before we kick off, where in the world are you today?
I am in Jakarta in Indonesia today. So here for a conference, which we'll doubtless speak about. And yes, it's been an interesting week in Jakarta. Let's just put it that way. Quite a lot of army outside the hotel at the moment. Yes. Okay. But still, but there we are.
Sorry, are you sure you're not in Washington, D.C.? Just check.
Now.
What are you doing there then?
What am I doing here? Well, yes. So we're here for Podcast Day Asia and Radio Days Asia. It's two big conferences here, around 300 people here. And it's a really good get together of people who are involved in both podcasting and in radio in this part of the world. And yeah, and so on Wednesday, I looked after the main podcast day, but also spoke on the Tuesday as well.
Mm. Now, it says here, there's a company called Sri FM in the Philippines that's using Spotify's open access. What are they doing?
Yeah, this was interesting. So this is Ron Baetiong, who we've known for a long time. I think we've had him on the podcast, actually. He listens. He is our only listener on Spotify, so he says.
And makes sense.
Yes. And so Syria, I believe, is the way that you pronounce it. It's Filipino for series. It's a radio drama app or radio drama platform. And it's basically podcasts that you can listen to. But he is using Spotify's open access, which gives him a real advantage in this part of the world. Because firstly, he doesn't have to build a storefront because Spotify is his storefront. Most of the shows that he does, the first six shows are free, and then you pay for show seven and on, which is interesting. But of course, you then press the button in Spotify Open Access. It opens his website, which you can link to. But that means that he doesn't have to just take credit cards, which very few people in the Philippines have. He can also take the wallet apps that exist in that country. So GCash is one of the big ones. And so he can end up taking that, which I've never thought before. But of course, in many parts of the world, people don't use credit cards. And so actually being able to accept other forms of payment is something that is very difficult, for example, for Apple Podcasts, very difficult for quite a few of these services. But if you're building your own and you happen to be based in the same country and you're using something like Spotify Open Access, then that's perfect for you. So that was really interesting to hear about.
I liked the idea that you put in my head of Spotify being a storefront for other services. I've never thought of it that way before. But I have said to you in the past, I think Spotify are going to be looking at the money on the table that they are allowing to be taken from them now. Mm. Now that the Apple monopoly on their store has been broken, I suspect Spotify's open access will be host your premium content with us, still be the storefront, but we will take the money and a percentage rather than give it to Patreon or give it to, in this case, the website for Sirius FM.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would agree. I think it's a risky strategy for Ron to do, but I think it's certainly a very interesting strategy. So, you know, and yes, Spotify may come a knocking and go, you know what, we'll have some of that money, please. And can you stop using your own payment system? We'd like to use our payment system. And of course, that wouldn't be good for people in this part of the world. But I thought it was a really fascinating thing.
Now, if I am not able to come to Jakarta, which I'm not, can I watch any of this online?
Yeah, you would have been able to, yes. There was a link that we put in Tuesday's newsletter to allow you to watch the podcast day itself as it went out live. There may be a link for you to catch up. I'm imagining that there probably will be. If you do a search in YouTube for Radio Days Europe, then I'm sure that you might be able to find it. But I went around the show floor, as I normally do, and I bumped into people and I asked them who they were, starting with Peter Neagle.
I am Peter Neagle and I'm the CEO of Radio Days.
And we're here in Jakarta for Radio Days Asia, which is now the, fifth of these?
It's the sixth. We were 5 years in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and now it's our first year here in Jakarta.
And we're really enjoying it so far, aren't we? We've had some good speakers so far and more to come. I know, you know, we've not seen a whole heap yet, but do you have any sort of anything that you've learned so far from the speakers that we've heard from or the ones which are coming up?
Yes, you and I were in a session which you moderated where we heard a very interesting story from the Philippines. And apparently gay love is really big in the Philippines. And I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it was just to clarify, it wasn't just about gay love. It was about podcasts that were made about that. But that was fascinating because he's using a lot of AI, isn't he, to end up doing that. And there's been a bit of a talk around AI here as well.
There has been quite a lot of AI. Also, I heard, I didn't hear it, actually, because I was dragged out of the room, but I heard a fascinating from other people about Corey Layden from ARN talking about how they are now using brain research, actually putting electrodes on the heads of people to understand the differences in listening to radio and podcast and music. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, he's really, really good. And so Radio Days Asia this time next year, I guess. Are we going to be in the same place?
We are. I had a wonderful meeting with the minister and the partners are very happy. So we will be back next year.
So we've got a lot of people who tune into us from the US, from Europe and from other places. Why should they come to Radio Days Asia next year?
Well, it's about finding that thing, that gem, like we were just talking about Ron Beertong from the Philippines, finding that gem that you would never have found in your own backyard and just saying, that's really clever. I could use that. And nobody else is going to hear about it, I think, unless you come to Asia.
I'm Jordan Kanazawa. I'm the head of branded podcast production for Otonol, a Japanese ad agency and ad tech distributor in Japan, specializing in audio.
And you've just been on stage here at Podcast Day Asia talking about some of the consumption stats for Japan in terms of podcasting. What was the big things that you were talking about?
Sure. One of the big things was that YouTube is the number one way to consume podcasts in Japan, which was about 5% higher than Spotify, which I think is quite significant. And there's also, for example, been an increase in political podcasts, which I know in America has been a big thing. And more Japanese analysts and politicians are starting to use podcasts as a way to communicate with people.
And you were also talking about Japanese podcasts using live events as a thing now and all of that. You mentioned a couple of shows, I think.
Just like overseas, Japan is also starting to expand podcast monetization beyond just advertising in-show. Podcasters are now curating their own events. They're starting to publish their podcasts as books, so taking the content from the podcast and putting it in a book, for example. And yeah, those are the two major changes this past year.
You mentioned YouTube being the number one podcast app. What are the other big podcast app in Japan?
So YouTube is number one. Number two is Spotify. Number three is something your listeners probably haven't heard of, Radico, which is like a radio streaming app for Japan. And number four is Amazon. So Amazon is behind Radico in the Japanese market.
Yeah, and it's interesting that Amazon is so high in Japan versus other countries. I shared some data which was relatively demolished, I think, showing that Amazon Music was actually quite high here in Indonesia. I find it fascinating seeing Amazon, you know, working in different parts of the world. Have you any reason why Amazon might be that high? Is it just that Amazon is quite popular?
Because Amazon is so popular in Japan, they also advertise on TV about their Audible initiative as well. So they do have a rather large footprint in Japan, which I think contributes to how high they are in the podcast app listening space in Japan.
And Jordan, you don't sound very Japanese, and you don't look it either. Why Japan?
Yeah, I made the joke. Jordan from Japan, white guy, doesn't look Japanese. So I'm from Australia originally, and I came over on an exchange trip. I liked the country enough. I decided to live there. I now have a wife and kids, so it's kind of hard to move now. But I quite like Japan. Yeah,
it's been really good to meet you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Pleasure's all mine. And enjoy the rest of your day here.
So my name's Siobhan Leahy. I'm an assistant editor at the BBC World Service for World Service Newsroom and the Global News Podcast, which is one of the BBC's most successful podcasts. But at the moment, I'm not doing that. At the moment, I'm developing the launch of a brand new podcast for audiences in Asia Pacific.
And this is what you announced this morning. It's very exciting. It's a visualized podcast, or as I would call it, a video podcast, but also available on audio as well. You even gave the name of it as well.
Very exciting. We did a big drum roll and announced it's going to be called Asia Specific. So that's great. It took a long time to get to that point for many reasons, but we're here now and excited to launch it.
And so the show is starting in the next few months. It's coming from Singapore. What will the show be focusing on?
So a few things. It's for audiences in Asia Pacific, but we want to cover kind of biggest global stories, the biggest stories in the world, and how they relate to audiences living here. Those stories seen through an Asian lens. But not just that, we also want to do the kind of biggest and best stories from Asia Pacific, ones that maybe haven't penetrated our news agenda in BBC World Service English because there hasn't been enough time. So in-depth analysis on those stories, kind of big picture insights on the political, social and economic trends that are shaping the region. There are many. Original journalism and on-the-ground reporting. So a massive editorial remit. We want to try and do it all.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a massive area as well to cover. Weekly, daily?
Good question. I think more than once a week, but we'll see if we get to daily and how quickly we can get to daily. I think we might launch with two episodes a week, one building up to two, maybe building up to three. We'll see how we go. I think we've got to establish a few things in terms of the workflow, the availability of our correspondents and our contributors. So yeah, that's very much going to be a let's see answer, I think.
And you've got some great names doing the show, haven't you, as well?
We really have. I mean, the show is going to be presented by Mariko Oi, who's based in Singapore. She's the BBC's first and only Japanese TV reporter and presenter. And she's going to be joined by two amazing correspondents in the region. Jonathan Head, the Southeast Asia correspondent based in Bangkok. He's like a walking encyclopedia for this region. People know him very well here. And also Laura Bicker, our China correspondent in Beijing, who was previously in Seoul and Washington, who is just an amazing presence and warmth with an immense knowledge. So yeah, that's going to be the regular lineup. And we've recruited a team, so that's very exciting. And we want to kind of, alongside Jonathan and Laura, we want to be showcasing the amazing voices we have in the BBC language services right across the region. There are many. They're in our bureaus, working for the Burmese service, the Thai service, the Vietnamese service, and the Indonesian service here in Jakarta. So they're amazing editors and bilingual reporters there, and we really want to kind of showcase their expertise, their knowledge, and their voices. So you'll be hearing a lot of them as well.
So the show is called Asia Specific. It'll start soon on YouTube and on the BBC.com app and wherever you get your podcasts, I guess.
That's right. I'm really excited about it. Thanks.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, James. Cheers.
I'm Ron Beatyong, founder of Podcast Network Asia, and we are the biggest podcast network in the Philippines. Yeah.
And you were talking about Syria FM. Have I pronounced that right?
No, it's Serie. Yeah, Serie FM. Basically, it's our premium audio drama podcast platform. And again, thanks to you. You told us there is a way to actually monetize and put a paywall within Spotify that people don't even know, right? Through Spotify Open Access, we've been talking about this for like 2-3 years now. We use that same functionality, but also had to localize the payment platform. So basically what Seria FM is that what we do is we translate the best novels on Wattpad, turn them into audio dramas, not in a audiobook style, but it's fully animated and whatnot with AI and whatnot and that people love in the Philippines. And then we put a paywall. The first 7 episodes are free. On the 8th episode, that's where you see the lock sign within Spotify, and then they have to pay using e-wallets because people in Asia do not have credit cards.
Yeah. And that's the clever thing from my point of view. So you're using Spotify as a storefront,
right?
And then you're using, you know, it's your website that people pay through, so therefore you can use not just credit cards, but also, I think it's GCash, isn't it?
GCash, and there's a lot of other wallets that people use. So we can definitely hyper-localize within Southeast Asia because, again, only a single digit of the population, and we're talking 400 million people, single digits, only have credit card.
And there are shows that you're producing, you're using quite a lot of AI, I gather.
Yeah, so half of it are AI, half of our cast are AI, supporting cast. But the main people that are the antagonists are human. Because even though AI can actually say it, it just lacks the kick and the emotion that people love when they listen to audio drama.
Have you had a good conference here so far?
No, it's been great. As usual, Radio Days Asia is a top podcasting conference in the region. I'm glad you guys do it. But just happy to show that, you know, the whole industry has evolved. And I was just so happy that to show our inspiration, which is Pocket FM, that taking a page out of their book, we were able to hyper-localize this. And again, happy to share, actually, that the one thing, and this is what shook the audience yesterday, the one thing that people obviously pay for in this, at least in our side of the region in the Philippines, is BL and GL.
Yes.
which stands for boy love and girl love content. Top sellers. We've made a couple dozen thousand dollars because of that content alone.
Yeah. Who would have thought it?
There's a pattern where I saw that there might be a chance to create there. Storytel. I don't know if you're familiar with Storytel out of the Nordics. Storytel is a Spotify competitor, and they opened up in Thailand. And by chance, I knew the country manager who ran it. Mm. And then the main anecdote that they told me was that in Thailand, they would have been dead a long time ago. I think it eventually shut down. But the one thing that kept them afloat was the BL category in Thailand. I was like, wow. And Thailand and Philippines have very similar nuances in terms of their gay population. So I was like, all right, I got to do it in the Philippines too.
Might as well. Ron, it's always good to see you.
Thank you, James. Shout out. Thank you.
Steve Ahern, publisher of Radio Info and one of the co-founders of this event here at Radio Days Asia.
Yeah, and it's a fantastic event. You are just setting up as we speak. You've just been blowing up balloons.
I have.
For the Radio Info Asia Podcast Awards, I believe.
That's right. That's right. It's actually, I've hated this year, and I've hated it because there were so many good entries that I thought should win, but we could only allocate one winner. So there were a few hundred entries. We got down to 80 finalists, and in a few minutes from now, after I've blown up the balloons and put the gold paper all around the stage, we will announce, I think it's 34 winners of the podcast awards. And this year, the most entered categories were interview and social categories, which I think says something about podcasts across Asia.
What was the big sort of takeaway from the shows that you saw that were entered and the shows that are going to win this afternoon?
One of the changes was in the fiction category. Last year there were a whole lot of ghost stories. This year there was still one, but fiction expanded out more to drama, and particularly in Chinese language podcasts. Fully produced drama was a big trend this year, and there's a couple of those that are going to win.
Very exciting. Where can people go and see all of the winners?
Radioinfo.asia, and either in the next few days it'll be on the front page, or just search Podcast Awards Asia 2025.
And as soon as they are there, then hopefully they'll be in the Podunes newsletter as well.
Indeed.
Steve, thank you so much.
Thanks, James.
My name's Chris Stevens, and I'm here representing TM Studios.
TM Studios, who many people on this podcast will know, are the people that produce all of our beautiful music.
Absolutely, and I hear every morning at home on my Amazon Alexa as well. I get the news, the weather, and then pod news. So very familiar with it on a daily basis.
Well, there's the thing. Why are you here?
I was giving a talk yesterday about branding and imaging and ways to connect your branding with your audience and just to make sure that your radio station is reflecting the people that are listening to it.
And so TM Studios makes jingles for radio stations, but also works with music for podcasts and that sort of thing. And you've got other companies as well, I believe.
Totally, absolutely. So I've run DivaWeb for 25 years now, which does a lot of production work for radio stations around the world. And then 5 years ago, myself and two colleagues took over TM Studios as well. So it's really exciting. I basically get to work with a massive range of radio stations all the time, which is fascinating because it's different formats, different countries, different audiences, and of course different creative challenges with helping stations just sound the top of their game. So I love it.
Yeah, no, it's great fun. And doing more for podcasts these days, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that's really been apparent the last couple of years is podcasts wanting their own branding and their own music for a couple of reasons. Firstly, so it's absolutely dialed in for what they want, the sound they want. But also now, with podcasts going on so many platforms and so many places, you want to make sure that, firstly, no one else has got the same music as you, and secondly, you're not going to unintentionally get any copyright notices when you put things online somewhere. Yeah, so if something is created by TM or whomever, then you know, it's yours, and you can use it anywhere. And I think that's a really important thing as podcasts invest in their branding and their image.
Where do we go if we want to find out more about what you do?
There's loads of stuff at tmstudios.com. If anyone wants to drop me an email, I'm always up for chatting about stuff. I am chrisuk@tmstudios.com, and I just love talking about this stuff.
Excellent. It's really good to see you, Chris.
Thanks, James.
My name is Chitra Prastuti, Editor-in-Chief of KBR Media, overseeing production of podcasts.
Now, you've been working on Podcast Day Asia here. You've been working on some of the panels and sessions. What's your overall takeaway from the event?
I think one of the things is the monetization, and video is a very big thing because I find it really hard to... I think I kind of agree with Ron saying it's only audio is putting us in the pigeonhole. But on the other side, we're kind of hardcore on audio and really... at first maybe reluctant going to video, but then it's a must business-wise, but then it's adjustment that we use to do adapting adjustment, things like that to survive.
It was interesting hearing from the BBC launching a new show and all of the work that they were doing there. They've done a year's worth of planning on that show. Have you ever worked on a show for a year before launching it?
No, that is really privilege. To have the opportunity to do that, to do the research, to like piloting several times, something like that kind of thing that we cannot always have that.
And what are the big things going on in this country right now in terms of podcasting?
I think one of the things is talk and video is very big in Indonesia, and in KBR we are still wanting to push forward audio narrative storytelling. This is our bread and butter, our strength. We want to show it to the people. It's getting there. We need visuals too, but the main course would still be the audio. I'm your team.
It's been really good to see you. I look forward to seeing you in the next year, I hope.
Yes, see you soon.
The Pod News Weekly Review with Buzzsprout. With Buzzsprout. Start podcasting, keep podcasting.
James, here's an interesting story I'd love your opinion on. Todd Cochran, friend of the show, he might be out there with you in Jakarta, has announced on the Blueberry website, as of October the 1st, they're going to be putting up their prices. He says it's the first time in 20 years that they've done that, which seems a bit odd.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things is, you know, the hosting industry and the podcast industry is looking for multiple forms of revenue, from dynamic ad insertion through to subscriptions. But are we or have we cut off the end of our nose to spite our face by keeping the cost of podcast hosting low? Now we're going to have to go and increase it. I don't know by how much, by the way. Will this lead to either people leaving Blueberry because they're the first to break cover, or will we lose podcasters because I go, oh, no, that's too much?
Well, I don't think they are the first to break cover. I think they're the first to change it for everyone. And there may be a good reason for that. It may just be that Blueberry's billing system isn't capable of grandfathering people into a lower rate, or it might be that Todd has gone, you know what, we'll just charge everybody a little bit more. I do know that other podcast hosts have put up the prices for new customers, but left existing customer pricing alone. So that is obviously another way of doing things. And there have been a number of different podcast hosts doing that. But I think it's very difficult at the end of the day, given that Spotify charges nothing. Spreaker, which is the second largest podcast hosting company, has a plan that charges nothing. And so if you're fighting against that, then I guess any amount of money that you're asking puts you at a disadvantage because people will go, well, hang on a minute, Spotify's free. I might as well use them then. And so I think the clever podcast hosting companies have realized, no, we need to offer more than just free hosting as Spotify is doing. We need to offer, for example, you know, Blueberry customers will get access to Blueberry's guest booking service, so they'll get access to that. And there are, you know, a bunch of things. If you look at Captivate, for example, they have all manner of existing and new tools that they will be adding in there. And I think that that is probably the name of the game here, is that a standard podcast hosting company probably isn't going to win any races. But if you add additional things that only you can offer, then all of a sudden that changes things.
No, BT used to have an expression called bill shock, which was fundamentally you didn't want to get your monthly telephone bill and suddenly find international calls and, I don't know, other online data calls, and suddenly you have this big bill, £300-400, right? So what they always used to do was say, when I did some help for them, we can't add services to this existing bill. We have to break it up into multiple bills. And I'm looking at Spotify saying they're free and hosts saying that they're charging. Is there a perception equals reality model that says, actually, we'll just call our hosting free, but we'll take that $12.99 that we were charging for hosting and we'll increase the price of AI transcriptions, or we will increase the price of guest booking, or we'll increase those prices. And the perception to the actual podcaster is, oh, Blueberry's free, Captivate's free, Buzzsprout is free. But actually they're not. They've just taken the cost that they had before and put it into other services.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are a lot of different ways, I think, of skinning this particular cat, to use a quite unpleasant phrase. Yes, and I think from a point of view, you know, so if you have a look at Buzzsprout, for example, Buzzsprout has a standard package that gives you a certain amount of hours per month. But if you want Magic Mastering, you pay more. If you want co-host, you pay more. You know, there are additional premium services that Buzzsprout offer, which you know, cost more. Similarly, there are additional services for quite a lot of other podcast hosting companies as well. So that's certainly one way of looking at it. And clearly, you know, that's a way that, you know, a way that is pretty tried and trusted, you know, in terms of that. I think the difficulty is it's a numbers game in terms of if you're charging just by the hour, or indeed you're just charging by the podcast, as quite a lot of people do, it is a bit of a gamble as to, will I have just signed on the next Call Her Daddy? And in which case, that's an awful lot of bandwidth that I have to pay somehow. And so it's the other people who are paying but don't get very many downloads who are essentially subsidizing that particular podcast. So I think, you know, there's definitely lots of different ways around how you charge for all of this kind of stuff.
So I've been looking at the various different hosts and how they present their models. So Captivate present it as number of downloads. So 30,000 downloads, 150,000 downloads. So in the model of Call Her Daddy, that would be protected because if she had 1 million downloads, they just put her onto a higher tariff.
Yeah.
Blueberry do it by the hour. And I think Buzzsprout do it by the hour as well. So number of hours. So that's just the audio. So they're not saying how many downloads you would have, but they're just saying how many hours of audio you're uploading. Now, at the end of the day, which is the better model, do you think, for charging?
I mean, I can understand both of those charging models because storage costs money. And so Buzzsprout charge by the hour of storage. Captivate charge by downloads, but downloads up to a certain limit. So you get an amount of downloads included in your monthly, you know, thing, and you pay more if you burst over that. Both of those are related to the costs that these companies actually get. And bandwidth is probably the big cost. I like the fact that Captivate is there unashamedly, and I used to be an advisor, of course, but unashamedly turning around and saying, we are here to help your podcast grow. We give you all of these additional tools to help your podcast grow, and we benefit if your podcast grows, because once you hit that, whatever it is, 30,000 downloads, then we will charge you more money. But that's a honest quid pro quo, because we've made your podcast grow, and most of their customers will never hit that level, of course. So I like the charge by the download. The benefit of that as well is that with somebody like Captivate, you can have as many podcasts as you like, as long as your downloads remain below that limit. So that's a very different model to, you know, the model like Libsyn, for example, that charges you per podcast that you have in their system. So I think there are just different ways of doing it, aren't there?
There is a third way in my head. So when you talk to somebody like SoundStack about their CDN, they talk about the amount of data they deliver, right? So they're talking about 1 terabyte or 0.5 terabyte of data. Is there a model for hosts to do the same? Because the download is assuming that it's a complete download of a complete episode. And hours uploaded in terms of the audio length has nothing to do with the consumption, if you look at Blueberry or Buzzsprout. But is there a third model that says, actually, it's the amount we pseudo stream. I know it's a download.
But the amount of data that you get through. And yes, I'm
like a CDN.
And I'm sure that there is. I'm sure that there is a model, and I'm sure that there are some podcast hosting companies out there who charge on that model, who give you X, you know, terabytes for free, and then away you go. The difficulty with that, I think, is that as a customer, you've got no idea. And as a customer, you're hoping that your podcast is going to be a big success. And I know that puts people off signing with Captivate, because they're there going, what, I only get 30,000 downloads. Well, actually, you're not going to hit that. But you don't want to tell a brand new podcaster that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure that there is. And it's what I find interesting, for example, with Buzzsprout, is on the standard rate, your audio, whatever you upload, your audio is fixed so that it is no more than a 96K mono file. So they do all of the transcoding for you. I do not understand why more podcast hosting companies do that, to actually build in transcoding down to 96K mono or whatever it might be, because I think that actually that's the right way of doing things. You know, it's pointless sending out a 320K MP3 file, because there's no, you know, most people will never notice any difference between that and a 128K, for example. So I actually think that that's not a bad plan. Again, you can pay extra with Buzzsprout if you want stereo, as we do. Well, we don't pay anything, but you know what I mean. So yeah, so I do think that there are different ways. The one thing, though, you know, as I say, is that from a customer point of view, they really don't know how much bandwidth, you know. I mean, for many people, you wouldn't even guess how many gig this particular show is. For example, this show is normally 1.5 hours. You know, what is that in terms of 192K? I wouldn't know. You know, so I think it ends up just being easy for customers. Do they understand, you know, charge by storage or charge by total downloads? But those two are clearly understood numbers. The benefit of charging by storage, by the way, is, of course, that charging by download, the podcast company is also in charge of basically working out how many downloads you're getting, of course. The podcast company is the, you know, is the arbiter in terms of, oh, you got this many downloads, so I'm going to charge you X amount. Whereas at least charging by the hour of storage is something that you understand as a creator. Okay, so I've made 5 hours and I know that that fits. So it's probably the easiest one to explain. But I think it's interesting. I think it's, you know, particularly interesting when you look at Blueberry putting up their prices for the first time in 20 years. It'll be interesting to see whether or not that causes attrition, whether or not people turn around and say, you know what, I'm not going to go with Blueberry anymore because they have just put their costs up, or whether most people go, you know what, actually I'll stick with them. So it'll be very interesting to watch, as I'm sure lots of podcast companies will be watching, because I would suspect that every podcast company wants to put all of their prices up for all of their existing customers.
Well, one of the things that when I was talking to the guys at Flightcast, when they were doing their calculations for hosting, they said, as soon as you can get somebody to sign up, you pretty much can bank 12 months revenue, because getting someone to switch is so hard.
Yeah.
You know, there are 301 redirects and everything else. It's not, you know, the simplest thing in the world to do. So most people, even if the price goes up by a small amount, I don't think they will then immediately want to switch. The other thing that had me thinking about with all of this hosting costs and everything else was, at the end of the day, Stephen Fry once said he doesn't know anything about wine. So when he goes to a shop to buy wine, he says, all I look at is the price. He says, I don't understand the grapes. I want red wine. I don't really understand whether it's a good year or a bad year. None of those things really make me understand. He says, but I'm guessing that the price has factored in all the quality and quantity elements of the bottle. So he says, I'm happy at $17.99 for a bottle of wine. That's my price point. And I wonder whether we are talking about hours or amount of storage or data distributed, and the user is going, yeah, don't care. What was it, $12.99 on Buzzsprout? Great. What was it on Blueberry? $17.99? Nah, I'm going with Buzzsprout. I wonder whether the price is just that thing that people don't even consider all the other factors.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I mean, the most heavily researched page on any podcast hosting company is the pricing page. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, going to the Captivate page, for example, and you see all of the stuff that they have, you know, all of these ticks of this is what you get, tick, 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 very different to, you know, Spotify that is obviously free, or, you know, some of these other hosting companies. So I think, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, it's helping people understand that there is a difference between Buzzsprout and other podcast hosting companies. There is a difference between Libsyn and, you know, Megaphone and blah, blah, blah. People are perfectly happy to pay significant excess for companies like Megaphone because they give you the monetization tools that you need. And so perhaps it's partly that as well. It's just making sure that you're, you know, that the feature set that you have is very clear. And, you know, and that's clearly something that, you know, I think the industry needs to communicate as well as it possibly can.
Let's move on, James. And we were talking about people maybe staying or leaving a host. What are the top reasons people stay or leave a podcast?
I'm just having a listen out of the window, and all I can hear is the call to prayer at the moment. And the call to prayer and lots of motorbikes. So,
welcome to Jakarta.
Yes, exactly. Yes, this was a study that was talked about podcast movement. It's now available if you are a Podnews reader, if you're a subscriber to the newsletter. It's free, but only then do you get access to the podcast study Growth. And they say that the top reason that people leave a podcast, firstly, that it was just boring, and secondly, that it started with too much meaningless chat. That's one of the reasons why this podcast starts the way that it does. It goes diving straight into the content, because that's kind of important. We leave our meaningless chat to the end, don't we, Sam?
Exactly, and it is totally meaningless.
Yes. So, yeah, there's some really good data in here. It was a survey of 1,200 podcast listeners. And yeah, it was good. They basically say that the first 60 seconds are critical. And I think that that's absolutely correct. So yes, if you get the PodNews email newsletter, then you can go to podnews.net/extras and you can grab a copy of the podcast study. And if you're not getting the PodNews newsletter, then you should just sign up and then you can get it. So it's as simple as that.
Now, Acast, since Ross Adams has stepped down as CEO, have made an acquisition. Who have they bought, James?
Well, they haven't made an acquisition. They actually made this acquisition earlier on in the year, but the acquisition has finished, is all done. So this was the acquisition of the Wonder Media Network, which they got right at the end of last year, beginning of this year, which makes a ton of great shows. And the idea there is that they are going to be making shows, for example, that do, that are for brands and things like that. So it was $5.5 million in cash, but Acast have just completed the deal with $2.6 million worth of Acast shares, which means that the total acquisition price for Wonder Media Network, in case you're working it out, is $8.1 million. So yeah, just an interesting thing just to sort of, point out that this has, finally gone through. So that's good news for them. But they've also done something which I thought was quite interesting, haven't they?
Yeah, they've started a Acast Ads Academy, a course or two courses even, to gain certification on how podcast advertising works. I guess that's not a bad thing if you want to get people to pay you to learn how to use your product. That's a really smart way of doing it.
It is free though.
Oh, it's free. Sorry.
Yeah, you're
damn,
okay.
I thought LP was finding a new revenue stream there.
No, you can gain a certification, but I think this is a very good idea. So you are helping ad buyers and people like that. They're hoping to train up 1,000, or thousands in their first year. But the idea is that you can train up to be a certified podcast ad salesperson, which is basically a certified person that understands how to buy advertising on Acast. So I think it's a clever idea. But you look at the amount of people out there who are certified AWS, engineers or certified Google Cloud engineers, that's a good thing that you can go to a client and say, I've done the course, I've got a piece of paper that says that I do actually understand how AWS works or how Google Cloud works or whatever it is. And so understanding how podcast advertising works, which is the spin that Acast are putting on this, is, I think, a pretty good thing. I thought that was a very clever plan from Acast's point of view.
I also saw somebody on LinkedIn already post that they've become certified. I thought, there you go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can do this exam. You can do it in your lunch hour, in a few lunch hours, so you can learn how it all works and then do that. I think it's a very clever idea. And if there's one problem that the podcast industry has had, it's that ad buyers don't understand how to buy yet. And if this helps them buy, then I think it's a good thing for the entire industry.
Well, next week we will have Greg Glenday on as the new CEO of Acast to tell us more about what this acquisition was about, and also are there other plans as well?
Yeah, so looking forward to that. There's been some new data from Livewire. Not much changes in terms of podcast hosts by episode share, which is what John Spurlock's Livewire puts together. The only thing that I noted in the data for August was that Libsyn has hit a new low of share of new episodes in a month. They're down to 3% for the first time. Podtrac now has a new high of shows that they track as well. Super useful data, and I'm really pleased that John puts this together. It does make you question Libsyn's focus. They are very much now talking about advertising, very much talking about the ads that they sell, which they can sell on any podcast host. And it does make me wonder, well, how long are Libsyn going to continue being a hosting company if, by the looks of it, they don't particularly care too much in terms of the amount of hosts that they actually, or the amount of podcasts that they actually host out there.
Buzzsprout has also put out some numbers, James. What's the take on that one?
Yeah, these are always really interesting numbers. Buzzsprout.com/stats is where to go. Of course, they're our sponsor. They showed a drop for Spotify year on year of 3.1% in terms of downloads. Although, obviously, if you produce video, then you no longer appear in that list in terms of downloads from Spotify. Apple Podcasts still number one, 37.1%. What other interesting stats are in there. 5.9% of all downloads on Buzzsprout are from the UK, which is interesting to see. Obviously, the US is number one. And if you are on Buzzsprout and you are doing 27 downloads or over, then you are better than half of all podcasts on the Buzzsprout platform. Just 27 downloads, which is quite a thing. We are easily in the top five. We do well over 1,000 downloads in the first week for our episodes. We're easily in the top 5%. But you do take a look at these numbers and you go, well, maybe charging our stored is probably the right plan.
Exactly.
In terms of charging, instead of charging for downloads, certainly.
Yeah. I forgot to mention, I looked at the T's and C's for most of these hosting companies as well. They have a safety net. So if you do go beyond a certain amount, they kick in with a increased charge anyway. So they've got their safety net in place.
Indeed. And for completeness, the Buzzsprout one, if you are using more than 500 gigabits of transfer within 30 days, I've got no idea how many downloads that turns into, then yes, you get switched to the Pro plan. Although the Pro plan is still genuinely quite cheap, $49 per month. That includes up to 1 terabyte of outbound data transfer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a thing.
Nice. Now, this is not really a big story, but I thought it was an interesting observation. The Rest is Politics, which is a big UK politics show from the guys at Goalhanger. They were doing a live show. They got 15,000 people at the O2 to come and listen to two people on stage talk about politics. Now, they've done the Albert Hall, and they've done a few other venues, but even the presenters were gobsmacked that they've actually managed to get 15,000 people to pay them to come and talk about politics.
Yes. Yes, it was a really interesting interview done, of course, by a man with a garbage bin on his head.
That's where we're missing out, James. That's what.
yes, a man called Count Binface, which, yes, UK politics, who understands it? But yeah, you know, and so Alistair Campbell, he was actually saying that Rory, his co-host, Rory put up a picture on the big screen. It was just a chart showing tax rates or something. And he put it up on the big screen, talked about it, and then moved on. And somebody in the audience shouted, "More!" and he was saying, "This is just mad. Mm. This is just mad." So, yeah, I think the success of some of these shows have totally taken them by surprise. And certainly, if you can imagine doing a live show in the O2 Arena in front of, so Alistair Campbell says, 15,000 people, you know, that's quite a thing. So, yes, it was a good interview, worthwhile watching that on YouTube. Also, another good interview, Amy McNee, who is an author. She was on your friend Jay Shetty's show.
No relation.
Friend of the show.
No relation.
Yeah. No. Spelled differently, yes. So that's probably
it's not
the
a
clue.
Lisp. It's not a lisp.
Anyway, Amy McNee went on Jay Shetty's show. She is an author. She has written a book called We Need Your Art. And she was expecting a massive sales hump because she had appeared on Jay Shetty's show. It made no difference to her sales whatsoever. And she makes the point, and I think this is a really good point, actually. She makes the point that artists have been taught that success comes from external forces. It doesn't come that way. It comes from word of mouth. Now, if you were to take the word artists and replace that with podcasters, and if you were to take external forces and start talking about, you know, does success come from Apple Podcasts, new and noteworthy? Does success come from, you know, you being picked as a speaker at Podcast Movement? Does success come from all of these things? No, it doesn't at the end of the day. And you should stop sitting back and assuming that somebody else is going to give you success. Just go out and get your word of mouth and get all of that stuff going. So I thought it was a really interesting you know, interesting point of hers. And very interesting, she shared the, you know, the purchase numbers for her book. And you could actually see very clearly that it made no difference to those sales numbers at all. So, yeah, really interesting.
I remember many years ago, somebody posing the question, who's the more important on a podcast, the host or the guest? And the answer was the host, actually, strangely, because most people had the perception, yeah, that, you know, get a big guest and that'll get my numbers up. Do this, do that, do the other. But actually, yeah, what you find is the parasocial relationship with the host is what people come, yeah, back for. And so it's that person or people, in our case, that people come, yeah, back to listen to. The guest happens to be just that week. So the effect for, yeah, her, Amy McNee, may be little because Jay Shetty's fans are coming back for Jay, not for Amy.
Indeed. And I remember, you know, Todd and Rob from the New Media Show, they say that whenever they have a guest on, their figures actually go down.
Oh, no wonder they've said no to me numerous times then.
Which I find fascinating. Let's talk about events. There is an event coming up in Spain called Podcast Days, and I was there looking through the list of international speakers, and there are some excellent names on there. Eric Newsom is on there, Megan Davies from Acast, Todd Cochran from Blueberry, of course. And then there was another name that I noticed on there, and it's Sam Sethi.
Yes, yes.
That's very exciting. Well, an international speaker now, are we?
No, well, you know, clearly a certain well-known speaker called James Criddle must have been busy that day. The only reason anyone goes for option two, yes.
Well, that should be very exciting. Yeah, so it's a month away. It's in Madrid on the 2nd to the 3rd of August, so just less than a month now. And yeah, so that should be very nice. How exciting for you.
Yes, no, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, need to top up the suntan. It's raining in England, so... yeah, it'd be nice to get out to Spain.
Also going on Pod Summit in Calgary on September the 19th. I will be there. It's actually September the 19th and the 20th, I think. I will be there doing a talk, which I haven't actually given a title to, for Tim, who is running it. If he's listening, it'll be my usual title of Where We've Come From and Where We're Going, because that leaves me to think for another week. And there's the SpeakFest, Night of the Living Pod, which is tremendous branding. It's being held in, I think it's being held in something like a cemetery or something really weird, or a museum of, yeah, it's just very strange.
Right.
Anyway, that's happening in Houston in Texas on October the 10th.
The tech stuff on the Pod News Weekly Review.
Yes, it's the stuff you'll find every Monday in the Pod News newsletter. Here's where Sam talks technology. It's been a quiet week in terms of, well, tech and news and everything else. So at least while we record this,
yes,
there may be more exciting things to happen. But while we record this, it's been very quiet. But what technology are you about to talk about?
Well, goodbye Chartable, really. I mean, I thought you'd gone already, but it looks like it's finally sunsetting on December the 8th. So that's that. And a company called Talks.co has launched a platform connecting podcasters and guests. So very similar to what we had Podmatch last week,
yeah,
with Alex Sanfilippo, who's very pleased that you called him Dapper. So
He is.
Yes. And so they've launched a free speakers page to help hosts find guests. The pages come with an easy to use URL to help prompt it. I mean, it goes back to SEO, you know, again, I know Hubhopper's got a service like this. We talked about Blueberry's got one, Captivate's got one. So there are a lot, yeah, of companies in this space of guesting and hosting connectors.
Yeah, no, indeed. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Talks.co. And yes, and just to mention on that Chartable thing, there's two things that's going on there. It was, of course, killed last year for most people. It still works for Megaphone customers, but it is finally going away. One of the things that they are launching for Megaphone customers is something called Megaphone Links, which are landing pages that you can link to if you want to promote your show. And it does all of the tracking. So basically what Chartable was doing, but they are typical Spotify in that these landing pages have a massive button that says listen to this show on Spotify, and then these minuscule little icons for all of the other platforms that you might want to have a listen. It's the most Spotify thing ever, so it's quite funny. But yes, if you want to use the kind of thing that you used to get through Chartable Smart Links, those URLs won't work anymore. by December the 8th. So you'll need to use these new Megaphone links instead.
Mm. A couple of other ones. PodClock, James, you've brought it back. Why?
Yes, I brought it back. It's a podcast app testing podcast. It's got a whole set of tests. If you're making a podcast app or a podcast service of some sort, all kinds of things from odd podcast formats or different metadata. So yes, worth a peek. You'll find that wherever you get your podcasts. And also Alberto Batella of RSS.com. We've already mentioned this, but it's worth mentioning again. There's demo code for producing the podcast location tag, the new podcast location tag. I know that RSS.com are going to roll this out very shortly, but it's really nicely done. It's done the correct way through the UX. It's very nice, and you can copy the whole thing and stick it into your podcast hosting company. It's well worth a peek. You'll find it linked on Monday's newsletter. And obviously, I'm not just rewriting that because there was virtually no news on Monday because it was Labor Day at all, but it's certainly worth another mention.
Yes. Now, one other thing to mention is Podhome. Now, Barry Lubrex from Holland is the CEO and founder of Podhome, which is a hosting company. But strangely, or maybe not so strangely now, they have developed their own app, and it's both iOS and Android. Have you seen anything of this yet, James?
Yes, I've played with it. I think, as with any of these podcast apps, you need to kind of understand what the big deal is. And I think the big deal with this one is it's a super modern podcast experience. That's what they're calling it. It deals with live podcasts. It deals with quite a lot of the secret sauce in terms of podcasting 2.0 and all of that. But there's quite a lot of stuff that it does that, you know, Pocket Casts does fine and Apple Podcasts does fine and everything else. But yeah, it's certainly built for the super fan in terms of podcasting. You caught up with Barry, mm-hmm. and you asked him, who is Podhome?
Podhome is a podcast hosting platform and one of the most modern ones, I always say. We've gone live in, I think it's now 2023 or 2022. I don't even remember, something like that. We're hosting lots of podcasts, some large, some small. We're doing pretty well.
Now, one thing you announced last week, you've been teasing it for a little while, that you've been building a new podcast app and it was in beta. And now it's gone live. It's available on the iOS and Android stores. So why did you want to go and build an app?
Why did I want to hurt myself like that? Yeah. As you know, building an app takes lots and lots of time and is very, very painful, because developing anything for mobile is super specific. The mobile rules for Android and iOS are super specific. So yes, it's a lot of effort. So why did we decide to do this? Well, first of all, me and also Jurgen, that's also working with me, we use lots of podcast apps and none of them truly fit how we want to use a podcast app. So that is really the best reason. So we wanted a podcast app just for us that works exactly how we want it. And from there it started. And the second biggest reason is that now we control the whole stack from us. So for our podcast hosting users, when they host anything with us, we can now control the whole stack. So if all the podcast apps don't work anymore, or everyone wants to censor you, for instance, you can still hear your podcast online on our podcast app. And that, I think that's very important.
So I understand the desire to find the best podcast app you can that fits your needs. Mm. Was there an immediate feature or function that was frustrating you that said, you know what, I can do a better job than those guys?
Yeah, so basically we wanted a podcast app that is as, let's say, beautiful or intuitive as Apple Podcasts. Because say what you want, but it's a nice app, right? It looks nice. There's nice buttons, all that type of stuff, because it's Apple and it fits exactly on the device. So we wanted that, but then make it work with modern features like chapters, transcripts, although Apple Podcasts does a lot of that, but also some of them it doesn't, and make it work slightly better in a way that we also wanted it to work. Like, for instance, when I start playing an episode, I want to know where it's gone. Like, when I then scroll around and search for more stuff, where did that episode go? So that's clear for us. It's now in the Up Next tab. unless you then remove it from it. And then the final part is we also wanted to discover new shows. So for instance, we see everything that happens on the back end of Podhome hosting. So we see new shows being created. We try to catch up and listen to everything, but that's impossible. But there's so much interesting stuff out there, and most of it nobody has ever heard of, because when you go to the bigger apps, you see trending, in your country, trending on the lists, and it's all the same shows, right? So we wanted a mechanism that also lets us discover other shows, fringe shows, just random shows, literally random shows, and maybe filter that as well, like random shows within comedy, within UK, for instance. And so we also built features for that, to see those. And now we have a feature where you can basically swipe through shows, just like you swipe through Instagram or any other social media app. And then you get a little preview of an episode. So you get to see the show, but you can also hear, oh, this is what that sounds like. Then you can get a feel. And then you can, if you like it, you click on it, you follow the show, you explore a little bit. So discovery features are also very important. So, and that's throughout the app. There's little widgets which say random episodes from this country, for instance. Random episodes, random. And then you just get to see lots of stuff that you otherwise wouldn't see and listen to.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's a lot of, dare I say it, paid promotions on the bigger apps that publication companies will have gone to those companies and said, feature us first. And strangely, that appears on all of them. So look, let's, with the development process, then how long did it take roughly?
I think roughly a year from start to publish in the App Store, roughly a year, something like that. Off and on, of course, not full-time development.
So look, now you've got the full stack. What do you envisage as the benefit? I mean, first, possibly first-party data into an analytics dashboard. But again, you know, one of the problems of being a full stack top to toe is that it's only your data to your analytics. And of course, being a host, you want to have a breadth of data. So when you came up with the plan, the idea to build your own app, you must have had some thoughts about, yeah, we will also get some competitive advantage by having our own app hook into our own server.
Yeah, so there's basically two things. Not so much the data, because yes, we need a breadth of data. We need more data. Otherwise, you know, it's kind of useless to the podcast hosting users. So the first advantage is that now we can have features that we roll out in the hosting platform that we can also then surface within the app first before you implement it in TrueFans the next day.
No, you never beat us. No, never going to happen. No, Jackie.
So that's one. And then the second one is that the app itself is also kind of an advertisement for the podcast hosting platform as well, because it offers nice and modern features. And for instance, on the episode pulse page, it shows all of the pod pings going by, including those that we find ourselves within our own backend system. So you see new episodes every 3 seconds from all around the world that are being published right then and there. And then we can, in a little pop-up box, we say, you also want your episodes being published in a couple of seconds, you know, check out Podhome hosting. And so it's kind of an advertisement also to show people what is possible, and also podcasters, and let them know that podcast hosting is also possible through Podhome. So those two things, basically, and not so much the data.
Now, what do you as Podhome hope to do next now that you've got both sides of the fence? What are you planning on doing next with either the hosting side or the app side?
Well, the hosting side, we are always improving that constantly, and we have lots of big plans. So the first new things that will be live very soon is an upgrade to our Podhome AI. It's already very capable at doing all the basic stuff that I mentioned already, like chapters, transcripts, all that type of stuff. The next update will do that even more cleverer, if that's a word. But then also will tell you all the things that the podcast was about. So for instance, if we would use it on this episode, it would give us also a link to your social media website, a link to my social media website, link to Podhome. It would filter out all of the entities and stuff that we've talked about and put relevant links in the show notes there, or suggest them, and then you can use them or alter them or don't. So that's one thing that's coming out. Another thing is that we're going to make publisher dashboards now. So for instance, one of the big things that we do with our hosting company is that you can have unlimited shows, unlimited episodes, and many people use that. And you can all have that within your one subscription of $15.99 a month. So you can have 10 shows, for instance, for $15.99 a month. And a lot of people do that.
But sorry, for clarification, can we just go pounds, sterling, or euros? I mean, just for clarification.
Your denomination. So most people pay in US dollars, and then it's $15.99. In the Eurozone, let's say, in our countries here, it's $15.99 also.
Okay,
in euros.
Gotcha.
So lots of people do that and have multiple shows, but then you have multiple shows and then you need to navigate to the multiple shows to see your statistics and all that type of stuff. So we're building a dashboard that shows you an overview of all of your shows and then an aggregate of all your downloads and all the things. And then you can drill down from there much more easily and manage all your, well, your network, your shows, basically. So that's another thing that's coming up there. And then the last thing that we are thinking about, we haven't built yet, is rudimentary recording feature. So we already kind of have it. So now people can go live, right? Like I explained, within our own podcast streaming server. So you don't really have to do anything for that. And there's already a toggle where we say, record this live stream. And when you do, when you're done, you stop being live. Then we process your recording and we put it in your episode and boom, you're done. You can just publish it as is, or you can download it and edit it if you want and upload it again. So we already have the basic infrastructure for it. And so we want to make it super easy for people to just use the whole platform, go to our website and then record instantly, put it in an episode, just like Anchor used to do, right? Spotify for podcasters. And just make it easy also for less technical people to just hit record, start talking, and just do that. So I think we're going to make a simple first version of that where you do it by yourself, and then maybe later you can invite guests and do all that stuff. So we have lots of big, crazy plans.
Okay. So one of the things that I've been saying is that hosts should support live, and I'm glad that you do. I know Blueberry does to some extent. I know a few others have said they will, but haven't quite got there yet. I've said that live podcasting is the new radio. So it's the possibility. And now that you're recording it, you've also got that ability to turn that live into an episode. Is this going to be something that you support? I'm hoping that one of the hosts will now start to use Medium equals radio for some of that rather than Medium equals podcast. And I know that's a fine line between what's a podcast and what's a radio show. But I do think that there's a big trend globally where radio stations are closing down. They can't afford FM or DAB. You're seeing a lot of radio stations. You're seeing Adam Curry with his Godcaster doing hyperlocal radio.
Yeah.
And I still think that we need to, I guess, give a slight delineation between what's an on-demand podcast and what is a live streamed, what I would fundamentally call radio.
Yeah, maybe we will support that medium. That's not hard to do, of course. But then, of course, we do need some apps that also support it, because otherwise nobody will show it.
I know one.
You do it, yeah. But obviously then you need to treat it differently than a normal podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Yeah, perhaps, yeah. I think we can definitely do that for shows like that, absolutely.
Given that you're a vertical stack, we know that Fountain and RSS Blue have merged together to create Fountain Blue, although still not seen a press release from Oscar or Dovidas, but then again, you know, it's coming, I suppose. Do you think companies like Buzzsprout, Captivate, Blueberry, RSS.com should all be going down this same road? Is this the trend now?
No, absolutely not. I think nobody should follow any trends. You should just run your business as you please and listen to your customers, most of all. Almost every feature that we built is customer driven. Somebody asks for it. So I don't think other companies should also have an app. You should only have an app if you have a good reason for it, because it's very hard to build and to maintain. So No, absolutely not. And I think, for instance, what the Fountain Blue guys are doing is great. And they have a specific focus on a type of customer with Bitcoin and with Nostr. And that is perfect. I think every business should have such a focus, because then you know who your audience is, you know. If everybody's your audience, then nobody kind of is, because then you have no focus. We have a broader focus, not so much Bitcoin and Nostr. Also, we do have a lot of Bitcoin people because we support value for value. And that attracts, obviously, the sat stackers, which is a good thing. But also the modern podcasters with live. That's also a very specific audience of podcasters that do that. Not everybody does that. Most don't. Mm-hmm. Because it also requires a little bit of technology knowledge.
So two quick questions then, because the last time we spoke, you were not anti V4V and not anti micropayments, but you weren't pro it. I remember you were saying, yeah, this will be a couple of years down the road. We won't support it yet. So when did you change your mind? When did you start supporting it then?
I was never anti it. I was hesitant to that it would have broad adoption quickly. And, you know, we see that now as well, because it is very difficult to do, to implement for the users mostly. And so a podcast listener, it's difficult to put a wallet in a podcast app. Now you have it in TrueFans. Many other podcast apps also have it. I do not have it in the Podhome app, a wallet or V4V, because we developed this in the Netherlands and we do not have any good options there to host a proper wallet that is also monitored by the Netherlands Central Bank, which unfortunately you need in this case. So as governments still around Europe, at least, are kind of hostile towards Bitcoin, it's going to be difficult to do this with Bitcoin, at least in Europe, perhaps not so much in the US. So here, maybe when we get stable coins, then, you know, we can pay with euros or whatever in little pieces. So not per se 1 euro, but 0.0001 euro, and then send that around in a couple of seconds. When that happens, then a system like this would be able to get broad adoption from the users as well. So from people that I know, my brother, I can explain it to my dad, for instance, and then he might actually use something like that. But it takes time. It definitely takes time. But I think we will get there, especially when technologies change and adoption gets better, also here in Europe.
Last few questions then. Monetizing, obviously, we've just touched on V4V and wallets, but are you doing dynamic ad insertion? Are you focused on any of that space at all yet?
From a hosting side, no. We do support the funding tag, and almost everybody uses that. And we surface that also in the Podhome app. And I know from my users, from the podcast hosting users, they have just great success with that.
So I've had a question in from a Mr. Cridland in Australia. He says, do you know where Australia is now?
Yeah, the next release, which is now pending at Apple, that will also have Australia in the country list. So what Sam is alluding to is in the Podhome app, you can choose countries to filter podcast shows and episodes and stuff on. And in that list, we missed Australia there. We had some other, we revised the whole list. So we had some other weird things in there that did not make sense at all.
So look, Barry, first of all, congratulations. Welcome to the game of app development. If I wanted to go and get the Podhome app, remind everyone, where would I go?
You can go to the App Store, Apple App Store, Android App Store. Just search for Podhome, P-O-D, Home, and you will find the app. And or go to podhome.fm/app, A-double-P.
Barry, thank you so much. Congratulations. 1 year of working has proved to be very fruitful for you. I look forward to the competition.
Thank you, Sam.
Boostergrams.
Super comments.
Zaps.
Fan mail.
Super chats.
And email.
Our favorite time of the week. It's the Pod News Weekly Review Inbox.
So many different ways to get in touch. So many different ways to get in touch with us. Fan mail by using the link in our show notes. Super comments on True Fans or Boosts everywhere else. Or email. And what have we got? We've got three boosts this week, which is very exciting. What's the first boost that we've got there, Sam?
Well, Neil Velio sent us 627 sats from True Fans and said, ha 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 ha. I think the Roadcaster chat, I just thought I'd add a few ahas in there,
Nice.
Was the very first thing we heard. Right, there you go.
Yes, I think fair enough. Also, another 621 sats from Neil. We finally get to see those Cridland baby blues in real time in video format. Yes, the Pod News Daily show was in video last week. It's not in video this week because I am in a hotel room in Jakarta and I'm not bringing all of the complicated things that I need in order to do video. But yes, that was fun to do. So yes, hope you enjoyed that. Don't know whether I'll go back to doing video. It was a good experience, but
Adam Curry didn't like it.
Did he not?
No, he said you felt less natural. He said you were reading the script and it was off putting watching you.
Well,
the key point he was trying to get across was
MTV VJ.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Pro.
Yeah.
No, I think the point he was trying to get across was that with the audio you have the option to edit it post-production.
Correct.
Whereas with the video, you were trying to get it all done in one hit, so you didn't have to edit it. And he said that it seemed, or he felt he could tell the difference.
Yeah, absolutely, you could tell. And yes, that was one thing I definitely felt doing that. I definitely felt that it just wasn't quite as good a product in terms of the audio. Yes, you know, video was there, but also who wants to watch, you know, a man squinting at the screen? So that doesn't make an awful lot of sense either. So yeah, yes, I'm not sure we will be going back to that. But one more from Martin Linderskog from Lyceum, 1,701 sats, which is very generous of you, Martin. It says, congratulations for being earworthy. Is the trophy shaped as an ear? It better be. That's all I'm saying. Mm. Yes, this was an award that we won last week, hence why the opening jingle for the show last week added the word award-winning. And it was very subtle, and I hope that everybody spotted that. So thank you. But also, Martin has done one extra thing, hasn't he?
He has. Martin has officially become the 22nd Power Supporter. Now,
yes.
I was looking up what should we call it, and I just think we'll go with the bingo calls, right? So a row of ducks. Yes.
Oh, yes. A small row of ducks. We'd like 222 supporters, please. Yes. But 22 is fine. So, yes. I mean, Martin did very helpfully. So not only is he giving us $10 a month, which is super excellent. Not only is he doing that, but he is also, he went to Wikipedia and he was trying to work out what we should call the 22. So in Spanish lottery and bingo, 22 is nicknamed Los Dos Patitos, the two little ducks. Mm-hmm. So I suppose two little ducks. There's also Catch 22. There's also a song by Tommy Steele, which I've never heard, called Number 22, Across the Way. If it exists on YouTube, you'll hear it now.
Number 22, number 22, number 22, across the way.
Oh, that was nice.
No, you're not 80, mate. You're not 80. You're okay. Tommy's...
No, gosh. And Martin asked Grok, but I couldn't care less what Grok says. So, Martin, thank you so much.
Did it come back with a Nazi salute or something?
So, yes, good Lord. But anyway, I asked Grok, for heaven's sake. But Martin, thank you so much. All joking aside, it really does help us, and it really does keep us going. So thank you to you. Thank you to Ms. Eileen Smith. Thank you to John McDermott and to Brian Entsminger, who are all very generously members of our Power Supporters. And if you would like to join them, weekly.podnews.net is where to go. So what's happened for you this week, Sam?
I'm broken, James. I'm technically, physically broken. It was my daughter's 21st.
Yes.
And she decided to do an outdoor garden party.
Ah, yes. Now, this was this time last week, wasn't it? Mm. Yes. So what? So, yeah.
So it was raining until 5 o'clock and an outdoor garden party in the rain wouldn't have been very successful. And then suddenly someone somewhere, thank God, turned the taps off. And it was dry for the rest of the evening. So that was lovely. Yes. And then, of course, my daughter, being my daughter, decided that one party is not sufficient. So She decided to have another one on Saturday with all our family and friends. And so this time, sadly, it did not stop raining. So plan B was move everything in the house. Oh, my God. No. It was just like, where does this chair go? I don't know. Stick it in the study. Do something else with that. And so by Sunday morning, I was officially broken. Yes.
Stick it in the third living room.
The West Wing.
Yes.
And then on True Fans, I guess we finished off the promo for podcast pages. So you can now request to be featured on someone else's podcast page as episode two. So we're not injecting into the RSS feed. But what we've done to make it slightly different is the person requesting makes an offer and you accept the offer or reject it. So I might say, I want to be on Pod News Weekly Review on True Fans, and I want to put Creators, one of my other podcasts. That would go to you as the admin, James, and you would then say, 7 days to 10,000 sats, no, not enough, reject. Or you might say, yep, accept that, and then that gets put in. So yes, we've done that.
That's very nice. That's very nice. And I think it's quite similar in some ways to the way that Buzzsprout sells advertising here. So if you want to advertise your podcast on the Pod News Weekly Review and you're on Buzzsprout, then you can do that. But what's interesting about that bit is that I get to, or you get to say, yes, we'll take that, or no, we won't. And there've been a few that we've, I've turned around and said, no, I don't want that. But most of them I've said yes to. So I think, you know, giving creators the control is, I think, a really good plan.
Mm. So what's happened for you, James?
Well, yes. I mean, you know, it's been an entertaining week in Jakarta. So the call to prayer at 4:30 in the morning is
did you go?
Not ideal. No. So that's a thing. I was told when we got here, so there's been quite a lot of unrest in Indonesia, and for various reasons. And so I got here and I was basically told, don't turn right out of the hotel, but turning left is okay. It turned out that I'd remembered it wrongly. But so the next day I thought, right, I need to write my newsletter. I need to get out of this hotel. So I'll go. There's a Starbucks down the road in a shopping center. So I'll go down there. So I walk out and I walk past, I think, probably about 15 police vehicles, army vehicles. I walk past people packing guns and stuff like that. And so get to the shopping center to discover that the shopping center is closed. Not just is it closed, but it's closed and it's got barbed wire in front of it to stop anybody getting anywhere near it, with lots of people, you know, holding massive, great big guns and stuff. And so I just walked all the way back again. Very, very bizarre. It's calmed down an awful lot. The government have been very good to us because there are lots of radio people here. The government have been very good to us. One of the ministers opened the event and all of that. But it's been an interesting experience, shall we say. I mean, obviously, I've lived in London, so I'm used to all of this. But yes. Yes, but it's been an interesting experience. So that was entertaining. But no, apart from that, it's been a good week. It's been a fun week just bumping into people who, you know, I've known for, in some cases, 25 years, who I never get to see normally. So that's been a nice thing. So yes, it's always good to do these sorts of events.
When do you go back to Australia?
I go back, well, I will be on the plane as this podcast goes out on Thursday night, Friday morning. I get back into Australia at something like 7 in the morning, and then I have to go up to Brisbane. And then that night, I'm off to see my wife perform in a performance. She's doing something as part of the Brisbane Festival, which is on at the moment. So that should be fun to do. And hopefully I'll stay awake for, because that would be a bad plan to fall asleep while your wife is performing.
I think it'd be on the divorce papers, yes. Actually. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Not again.
Yes. Oh, God, no. Yeah. 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 So don't go there.
So I think that would be a good thing.
Yes.
And that's it for this week. All of our podcast stories taken from the Pod News daily newsletter, of course, at podnews.net.
You can support this show by streaming sats. You can give us feedback using the Buzzsprout mail link in our show notes, and you can send us a super comment or boost, or become even better like Martin Descock, a power supporter like the 22 other people at weekly.podnews.net.
Yes, our music is from TM Studios. Chris from TM Studios is here, so it's been fun to have a chat with him about that. Our voiceover is Sheila D. She's not here. Our audio is recorded using CleanFeed, which of course just starts to go wrong as soon as we mention the word CleanFeed, which is weird, isn't it? But anyway, there we are. We edit with Hindenburg, and we're hosted and sponsored by Buzzsprout. Start podcasting. Keep podcasting.
Get updated every day. Subscribe to our newsletter at podnews.net. Tell your friends and grow the show.
And support us.
And support us. The Pod News Weekly Review will return next week. Keep listening.